Blog Talk Radio.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? You'll find it here, scottinsler.org, where you will hear the facts. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. scottinsler.org reveals what the churches in America fail to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil, you have to eradicate it. It's not too late.
That's right. As long as you draw breath, it is not too late. Repent, clean yourself up, and serve the God of the Bible. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Scott Hensler of scotthensler.org. Tonight's subject, we're going to talk about demons. You know, everyone's subject, right? You think your spouse has demons? Well, they're everywhere. You know, it's funny. I hear people say, well, you think there's one behind every bush or behind every rock? I say, no, it's in your brain. It's in your head. It's in your body. They're all over. They're trying to attack us all the time. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, because without it, we'd be squashed like a bug. Now, there's no reason to fear him as long as we're in Christ, but you need to be in Christ. The more sin that you do, the more authority you give them. It's like a courtroom, an open courtroom, where you have committed a crime, and the judgment is being able to allow the demons to do what they want to you, to act out their ugly nature, to be the very disgusting things that they are. And they hate us, and they don't like us, and tonight we're going to talk about why and what to do about it. Christians, unfortunately, are affected heavily by the demonic. You need to remember that you can't run into the devil if you're going the same direction. So since we're in Christ, we're an absolute target. They're going to do everything they can to keep us and thwart us from our walk with the Most High God, from having a relationship, for having Jesus in our hearts, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that give us the wisdom, the discernment, and courage, and blessings, and all those things that they don't have because they're damned, and we'll talk about that. So yes, Christians are affected. They're affected more than most would like to admit. The churches, unfortunately, do not teach this. And I really don't know why, other than it's a lie straight from the pit of hell, because it plainly says, and all through New Testament, and all the examples that you see, you remember when Jesus was talking to somebody, who was he talking to? Well, he was talking to Christians. He was talking to those that were not Christians. So you have to be discerning on what he was saying, who he was saying it to, and at the time. And throughout, he was telling us to cast out demons. So if you come to Christ, you need to get the demons out. When you come to Christ, you need to be baptized, you need to be washed, you need to be cleansed. If you don't, you're going to take these boogers with you. And they're going to ruin your walk. They're going to keep you from having the relationship that God intended you to have. They're going to do everything to destroy your marriages, your relationships, your finances, your health. How do I know? Well, I've been a victim of it too, and I know that some of you listening are in a horrible situation right now, and you're wondering what's going on. You go to the church, nobody wants to help you, nobody knows what to do, or they think you're nuts, and then they always say, you don't have enough faith. Well, I'll tell you what, you should just slap them and walk away, because your love of God is what you need, but we're also a brethren. We're also a group told through Jesus Christ to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to cast out demons. And the fact that the church isn't doing it, now, thank God, as time goes on, that there are deliverance teams out there. They may not be related to a church, they may be a third party, but there's a lot more than there was 10 years ago. And because of that, people are being set free. And if you get a chance, go to your web browser, go to Google, and find out who is in your area. And go to a deliverance. If you haven't been delivered, you probably have fear spirits. You probably have legalistic spirits. You may have some type of addictions and perversion, and if you've had sex outside of marriage, which includes just about all of us, then you've had a transfer to spirits. You have soul ties. You have all these different things that are affecting you, and you wonder what in the world's wrong. So, yes, they do affect Christians. So let's talk about where they came from. Well, in the Book of Enoch, it discusses that they are disembodied spirits of the Nephilim giants. And the Nephilim giants, since they were an abomination from the conception of fallen angels, the Watchers, with women on earth, as it states in chapter 6 of the Book of Enoch, that they're damned. Now, there are some spirits called Siren spirits or Sirene spirits that were actually earthly women who willingly and even seductively had sex with the fallen angels, per the Book of Enoch, and God damned them as well. So those spirits are out there too, and they are seen as Starbucks coffee logos. We see them as mermaids or water spirits, but they're hell-bent on the destruction of men, and they, like I said, they even lured the angels in, so they just apparently had evil in their heart, and they were cursed, and so now they spend their time trying to take down men. So hence the myths about mermaids and ships being, you know, driven to the rocks and so forth. Now, with all these spirits being released into the earth, now, of course, when the giants died, their spirits were released, and this all happened before the flood and even after. They're just causing absolute havoc on the earth, inhabiting people. And as it says in the Book of Jubilees, with hardcore sinners, that these spirits are going to be allowed to enter people who commit sin. Now, most of them, like I said, are male. And, of course, there's some that were the females. Now, whether they have a male type, you know, like Jezebel. Jezebel's spirit is actually a male spirit pretending to be a female. And once the destruction's made, the connection's made with it through a sexual contact, then you just find out what their real nature is, and it's just hell. They're hell-bent on destroying people who are prophetic. They go after the church, they go after the pastor, they go after anybody that has any discernment, authority, and power within a church, and they structurally try and take them down, and unfortunately, they're very, very successful. Now, demons love to act out their ugly nature. If they are, let's say, a perversion spirit, a seduction spirit, a spirit of anger, they will entice, they will inflict, they will do as they are. And there's also a structure of demons. They're not all the same. You know, they've got personalities. They've got different intelligence, you know, degrees. And I wanted to say, never assume that a demon, if you're dealing in a deliverance and they manifest and they act like they're a complete idiot, well, I mean, they may be, but it doesn't mean that they don't have a high intelligence. They may be just acting this out. But they've been around a long time, and so they've got a lot of knowledge, and they may actually be under the authority of another demon who is extremely intelligent, and they're doing nothing but playing you out. So you have to watch out for that. Now, since Nephilim, as it says, had sex with animals and all creatures, then, you know, there's talk that possibly that may have been where some of the crazy dinosaur animals came from. I don't know what to say about that. But what I have seen is that there are animal spirits. And those spirits are very nasty, very mean. Like any panther, any mountain lion, they have one purpose, and that is simply to kill and eat. And that is their sole purpose. So animal spirits can be very bad. Now, these spirits can also inhabit animals. I've got a story to tell about that possibly at the end of the show if I've got enough time. When I had cast spirits out of a Kachina doll and broke the curse, there was a situation that took place that it ended up inhabiting or infesting an animal. And if we get time, we'll talk about that. Now, in the Book of Jubilee, it talks about that only 10% were allowed to roam, and that the rest have been bound and to be released at the end times. Now, if this is correct, since we've got our hands full now, and it's amazing how many spirits are out there, even if there's spirits that leave somebody and go into somebody else, you know, like a family member or somebody you've had sex with, there is a plethora of these spirits. So at the end times, if the other 90% are to be released, as it talks about in Revelation, coming out of the pit, infesting like locusts, that's pretty serious stuff. So that's why it's really important to get yourself cleaned up now. The last thing you want to be is infected by demons, to have any of them inhabiting you in the end times. And as I discussed in some of my other teachings, that you really don't want to be a part of their nature in using you in the end times to hurt and affect other people. Now, as far as these books, the Book of Enoch and Jubilees, and that, whether you believe it or not, the testaments, the books out of the Bible, have referred to these writings, and these were available to the apostles, to Paul, and being, you know, that Paul was a scholar, and also an extreme educated deliverance individual who knew more probably about the spirit realm than most, that that I believe that these books have validity. Now, the other two is that the Book of Enoch talks about that it really wasn't intended until the last days, and that states in the beginning of it. So that's something that should be considered. I wouldn't throw these out. I know that they read like a manual sometimes, but they do teach us, they do tell us what's going on. And being in the deliverance ministry as long as I've been, I can see that there's truth to it. And so that's why I believe that they should be considered. Now, I don't want to go too deep into the books, of course. You can go to my website. I've got some teaching on Nephilim, some information that you may want to go to and find out more, and then that'll allow you to investigate and make your own decision. Everything that I say, take to prayer, meditate on it, find it. And like I said, visit a deliverance ministry. You will see things that you would have never thought was possible. You'll see people being set free. You'll see people being healed. You'll see joy in their hearts come back. You'll see that light that was underneath the basket now shine through their eyes again and have hope. These demons try and take your hope. They try and steal your faith. They try and get you not to move forward in the Lord, for you to give up hope. Because if you don't have hope, it's very hard to move forward. Unfortunately, that's where suicide. If a person gets a spirit of suicide, gets a spirit of death, even murder, destruction, anxieties, depression, these can be, over time, so devastating to a person, even if they're a Christian, that they may end up taking their own life. The torment is terrible. Anyone thinks that it's through a selfish act, shame on you. These are people who need help. These are people that are crying out to be saved, to be released, to be removed, to get the chains off of them, the shackles, to breathe again, to be back in relationship with God again. Now, you got to remember, God's there the whole time. It's us who leads, whether we're deceived or not. So I'll address more of these books later. Now, demons hate us. They hate children. They hate all good. They hate each other. They never sleep. They never tire. They never rest. They do what they can 24 hours a day to destroy us. That is their goal. They want to destroy us. We have salvation. They do not. They are an abomination to begin with. And as it said in the Book of Enoch, that God actually had them turn on themselves, which was part of the punishment of the angels, which is an amazing scripture, part of the word that makes you think that these angels then were being tortured for the very fact that they saw their own offspring killed and that was part of the punishment. Just like if we were to see a child of ours that was injured, it's very trying to the soul. Now, spirits can come down through the bloodline. They can actually have entered even back when our surnames were established. But you figure you had a father and mother, and then your father and mother had a father and mother, and it didn't take much to go back, and you've got a whole bunch of people that you can't tell me have been walking in the Lord the whole time and haven't sinned. Many of the demons that I deal with, now I'm pretty good at waterboarding demons, interrogation. I only go as far as getting the information that I need. Some people don't think you should do that, but you know what? There are times that you work with people and you can't get them healed until you find out the root cause, what the entry point was. Break the curse. Have that person come to repentance and ask repentance for the bloodline sins that were committed by the father and the mother, grandfather and mother. There may have been a murder in the family, and that was the entry point. Get that cleaned up, then repented, get the doors closed, sit on the blood of Jesus, and then go after those darn things and get them out. Because you got to get demons out. You can't just break curses. You have to throw them out, since demons carry the curse. So they can come down through the bloodline. It is very important to get that resolved and taken care of so that it doesn't continue on with your children. Because some of the hardest demons I've had to get out, they've been in the family so long, and maybe the children are old enough now that they have started, you know, acting up themselves with the curse, whether it's been, let's say, anger, maybe addictions, and now that they want it, you know, they'll leave the person I'm working with. But you need to remember, they're going to go after the children. So that needs to be resolved, that needs to be taken care of, needs to be broken, and if you don't, then it's just going to continue. I send them to the abyss or the pit, by the way. I just don't send them out. Scripture talks about they going to dry places. Well, that's on their own free will. You have the authority of Jesus Christ. You pound on them. You don't take no for an answer. You are an authoritative. You have the power. You have the strength. And you better have a righteous anger for these darn things, because they kill, steal, and destroy, whether it's yourself or whether it's others. If you were walking down the street and you saw a child being assaulted by many other children or other adults, you would step in and stop it. Well, this is what's happening in the spirit realm. So if you do anything, have a righteous anger for the very fact that they would harm children and even try and destroy them. So the legal rights have to be broken. The demon has to be cast out. Forgiveness, repentance needs to be offered. And if there's other people involved, repentance and forgiveness is extremely important. If it was a perpetrator that caused the entry point, and the person you're working with won't forgive, then you're in for a fight, because then that means the demon doesn't have to go, and they know that. And by the way, sometimes demons will stand against you and they'll say, I have a legal right. Well, you know what? I have a right through the blood of Jesus Christ to make you go. So you go. Out. You're out of here. And that's the attitude that you have to have. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So all sins need to stop. If you're in a sexual relationship outside of marriage, it needs to stop. There's going to be a transfer of spirits. And, you know, sometimes people won't confess that they're actually in sin. And you cast spirits out. Well, you know, as soon as you leave, they're just going to come back. Because the person that you're having sex with is infected, and all you're doing is transferring spirits back and forth. You need to remember Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a battle. One-third of Jesus' ministry at a minimum was casting out demons. And that means just how severe this really is. And if you don't get the demons out, you're going to have, well, those who already know, their walk has been damaged. They're not who God intended them to be. You can be broken. You can be assaulted over again. You can lose your finances. you can be raped repeatedly again and wonder what in the world's going on. Well, you've got a target on your back that needs to stop. And if you don't think Christians can have demons, well, you need to think again. Though we have Christ in us, they can infect our bodies and our minds. They can get on our organs. They can cause cancers. They can cause illnesses and sicknesses. They can cause sexual addictions. It can cause alcohol abuse, drug abuse. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And if the demons aren't casted out, like I said, they'll carry that into their walk with Christ. So no matter what you believe, go to a deliverance ministry, see what I'm talking about, and realize that you yourself have actually not been fulfilling what God intended you to do and cast out demons. Repent. Become somebody who works in that ministry and start fighting for them. This way, you'll avoid suicide, perversion, anger, divorce, murder, abortion, confusion, sickness, witchcraft, sorcery, divination, pharmakeia. And if you're in pornography, stop it. That is the biggest entry point of Christians and non-Christians right now. Whether you're a man or a woman, there's been an increase with women being sucked into pornography. You need to stop because that is a major, major entry point. Haven't you ever woke up and there's been something sitting on your chest? Well, that's either a Puthon or Python demon, which usually comes from drug abuse, possibly in your past, or in perverted sex. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that have had that situation. And that can all stop. I've even dealt with people who are scratched at nighttime, especially young girls. You know, it's amazing. And that is unacceptable. And like I said, if you're not casting out demons and you don't believe it, well, you know what? You're already in error. You need to repent and start doing what God told you to do, what Jesus told you to do. It's time to clean up the church. It's long overdue. We're running out of time. You know, I've been doing this for 13 years at the point of this broadcast, and there should be a deliverance ministry in every church, and there isn't. And that is a shame, because there are people sitting in the pews right under the nose of the pastor, and they are tormented. They're broke. Their spouses are leaving. They have cheating spouses. They're being abused. They're being sexually abused. They're being emotionally abused. And again, sometimes that abuse can actually come from the congregation when they say, you know what, you don't have enough faith. It's your fault. Well, that's not the case. And shame on anyone who ever says that. If you say that to a hurting, broken Christian, fellow Christian, I can assure you, you've just got yourself in trouble. You need to stand with them. You need to pray over them. You need to break the curses, and you need to cast the demons out. Breathe through repentance, forgiveness, they'll release. And it has to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Like I said, I myself, I send them to the pit, and I make sure that they never return by forbidding them. And I also ask assistance of the Holy Spirit. I ask assistance of the angels. Say, well, we shouldn't be telling angels what to do, really? Well, you know what? Since we have the authority of Jesus Christ, He's in charge, and He's told us what to do, then we have authority. And by the way, they're there waiting for us to help us out. They need to be cast out of your children. They need to be cast out of your spouse. And if you're not married, be careful who you're in relationship with. Don't have sex outside of marriage. And if you are, stop, as I said. And if you're going to be married to them, get into a deliverance ministry. Get the demons out to avoid divorce, to avoid abuse, to avoid transfer. It's the spirits of the curses that's within the possible spouse that you're going to marry. You don't know that much about them. Everyone puts on a good face for 6 months or a year, and then you find out what you're married to. We all know that. Now, when it's all done, we need to give God all the glory. He is our Father. He is our Deliverer. He's given us the Word. His Son, Jesus Christ, has paid the price for our sins, given us the power and authority to cast these demons out, to heal the sick, to set the captives free. What an amazing thing. But give all the praise and all the glory to the Most High God, that we can now walk in white garments, that we're healed, we're restored, we're set free, and we have eternal salvation, spending eternity with Him. In the name of Jesus. What a wonderful gift. Nothing's more rewarding than seeing somebody come into a deliverance ministry who is beat to a pulp. The church has rejected them. The church doesn't help them. They lost their job. Their spouse or their girlfriend or boyfriend have left them. They don't know what's wrong with them. You know, through their manifestations, they act out their nature. It is so wonderful to set them free and for them to walk out of there for the first time in months and possibly years with their head up. They have a relationship with God that they haven't had before. They know who they are in Christ. They've been restored to the man and woman of God that God intended them to be. And now they're on fire. And now they understand what has been going on. And now they have a righteous anger. And now they want to go kick some rear ends. And I praise them for that. To go after demons that are infecting their children, that are infecting their spouse, their friends, their parents. What a wonderful thing that God's provided for us. But real quickly, I'll try and explain a little bit about the time that I cast the demon out and broke the curse off of the Kachina doll. When a friend of mine had been given one as a gift that was very expensive while I was in the military, kind of a political thing, I think. And anyways, he brought it to me and asked me about it, and it was I could tell that it was full of spirits because it was annoying to even have it in the same room with me. So it was evening. We went outside, and I said, well, let's set it on fire. Let's break the curse, and let's just, you know, ask for forgiveness for even having the thing as a Christian. And we did that. And something happened that I wasn't expecting. He lived on a couple of acres, and next to him was another residence with a couple of acres, and they had a horse. Well, this horse was the kind of horse that could be around children. You know, you could, you know, ride it anywhere. You know, a very tame horse. Well, it sounded like a bear. It grunted, it groaned, it huffed, it puffed, it ran back and forth. And at the time, I wasn't really paying attention to what was going on because I didn't know the horse. You know, I just figured that was its, you know, who it was. But then I found out later on what was going on. Well, that spirit had left the premises of the residence and went into the horse next door. And I understand that it actually wore, when it ran back and forth along the fence, because it was mad. It lost its home. It was angry. It wanted back. But I forbid it from returning. We drew a line in the sand, covered everything in the blood of Jesus, and at that point it couldn't return. But luckily, it did leave the horse later. I would have come back later if I'd had to, but that was just a story I wanted to tell you. So anyways, Fonda, thank you for the opportunity to give the word, and just thank you for those that are listening. And if you have any questions, go to my website, scotthensler.org. Send me an email. I'll pray over you, and just thank you again in Jesus' name.
Thanks for picking me up at the airport, nephew. Sorry, my plane was so late.
Oh, glad to help, Aunt Phyllis. Say, you got more luggage than you did last time.
Yep. One thing I've learned from the last time, you can never be too prepared.
Oh, that was just a one-time thing. That'll never happen again. Darn, that's the second tire today.
Today? I hope you got the last one fixed and have a spare.
Well, no, I forgot.
Forgot? Land sakes, you're just like your father. Well, guess I better get out the supplies. Something tells me we are going to be here a long time.
Supplies? Where'd you get all that stuff, Aunt Phyllis?
WildernessGeek.com, nephew. They have it all. GPSs, two-way radios, signaling laser flares, and more.
WildernessGeek.com?
Yep, WildernessGeek.com. Now hand me those night vision goggles. I want to make sure no varmint sneaks up on us while you signal a plane and call for help on my radio.
Glad you shopped at WildernessGeek.com, Aunt Phyllis.
Me too.